Well, hi, this is Dave. Welcome. We're going to conclude our seminar series this evening and look at the last two steps of the roadmap system. I want to begin with answering a couple of questions more directly and then open it up in case you have reflections or questions that you'd like to talk about before we do our discussion. To clarify, what we're talking about in this series is not a program that you present. It's not like a wellness program per se, but it's really a way of listening, a scientific system of listening to a client's story in order to understand it and to revise or construct a new story. So the roadmap system, the seven steps, is simply a way of deconstructing of how we can, in a more informed way, listen to how someone constructs their story to tell us more about them, to help us understand how we can help them in a better way, and how we can collaborate to co-create a better, a new, or a revised story. Now that, as we've discussed it, is applying to a wellness story, but it can be applied to any aspect, a life story, a money story, a relationship. We're just taking it as a specific application to wellness. So I hope that clarifies that this is simply a way of listening and to help us be a more informed listener and collaborator with a client as we focus together. So questions or comments or reflections that any of you have about what we've talked about or what we haven't talked about that would be useful for us to discuss before moving into our material. Anyone? Any thoughts or questions or reflections or even clarifications?
No.
Anyone? Last call? If not, I'll move into the material and then we'll have a bit more time at the end to do a discussion.
Okay.
So is that a unanimous vote then? Okay, we'll move into a discussion, a lecture. Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk about, in this seminar, creating new wellness experiences and identity. We've discussed the power of story and the concept of creating your own wellness story. We've looked together at how different this notion of creating your own story is from fitting into someone else's protocol or simply adding something like a diet plan or an exercise program to what you do. We've discussed the first five steps of the roadmap for a new wellness story. Recognize authorship, own your story, assess the plot and storylines, decide what to change, and map changes. Step 6 and 7 that we're going to talk about in this seminar will address how to create new wellness experiences and identity. And again, the seven steps are just the deconstruction of a story of change and seven steps to write a new story or revise a current one. So step 6, author new experiences. We trust our stories. They are our reality. When our stories and our behaviors don't fit, we experience disharmony. We have to change one or the other to restore harmony. Sometimes we revise our stories. Sometimes we change how we see reality. We've considered if your wellness story doesn't allow you to do certain things. If your story is that you're a procrastinator, it will not allow you to finish early. If your story says you don't know how to work out, then you'll live out this assumption. At first, The idea of change may create excitement. The anticipation of change boosts a dopamine response. Then, as it's on the cusp of action and about to change, it triggers anxiety, and then expansion, and only finally, mastery. So here are a dozen AAA principles of change to author a new story: awareness, acceptance, and action. 1. You're writing your own story. Is it working? For each component, what are the results? Honestly assess each of these storylines with the question, is it working? And make that a yes or no. Your personal wellness story, mind, body, spirit. Your business, career story. Your relationship story. Your money story. When I ask people what they most look forward to and what they're most afraid of for the next chapters of their lives, they often respond with vague dreams yet specific fears. The top of the list of long-term concerns, health and money. A not-so-secret to success is that you have to pay in full for that success. So you might as well find out what the price is, pay it in full, pay it as soon as possible, and then enjoy the benefits of success. The price is always some form of energy, whether that energy is money, time, work, or experience. If you get something for which you haven't provided value or benefit, you'll still have to pay in some way. If you incur debt, for example, in order to purchase something before you've earned the money, you simply end up paying more for it. Another non-secret. People who truly enjoy getting what they want are those who enjoy paying the price. I'm doing it right now. I love this. I think you're each going to make such a difference in many lives. It makes it easy to pay, and it's not even paying. It's my passion. The price is whatever you need to give in order to generate exactly what you want that fits with your ideals. 2, you're writing your own story. It takes just as much energy to create any belief in your story. Positive or negative, past, present, future, adaptive or maladaptive, the same energy. The belief of scarcity takes just as much energy as abundance. You generate the energy and give power to your story. Here's the subtle but crucial distinction. You give specific power to your story and it assumes its own momentum. And remember that you're not the subject of that process, you're the creator of it. Here's a short list of some results when you focus on what you don't want. Fear, anxiety, anger, confusion, annoyance, helplessness, guilt. 3, you're writing your own story. Decide what you want. The primary reason people don't get what they want is they're not quite sure what they want. Here's a neuroscience law of attraction question. How does the brain work like a travel agent? The first two questions a travel agent asks, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? A goal is like MapQuest. You program in where you want to go, make a map, and determine the time. A caveat. To know what not to do can be at least as important as knowing what to do. You may not always know exactly what the next right thing is, but you can almost always know what it isn't. What you resist, you draw toward you. Resistance is an engagement. Anger is as passionate an attachment as love. And most suffering is the result of resisting what already is. People resist going to the doctor. They aren't afraid of doctors. They're afraid their denial may be confronted. The fourth AAA principle of change. You're writing your own story. Do you have specific measurable goals? In a Harvard study begun in the mid-1950s, 10 to 15% of the Harvard Business School graduates fashioned a vision and specific goals for their life and business. 5 decades later, those 10 to 15% had 90% of the assets of the entire group. A similar study was done of Dartmouth undergraduates. their percentage was 3% had goals. That 3% ended up with 97% of the assets of that entire graduating group. Motivation increases as soon as you're clear about the goal and the payoff. Focus enhances when you have a specific plan and strategy. Think about how we do that even for each coaching session. What would you like to focus on? What would you like to take away? Review from the workbook the exercise 11 Steps to Ignite Success. It begins on page 3.6. It's estimated that at least 10% of people have measurable goals. 100% of people have good ideas, at least some. The difference between a good idea and a goal, measurement, and time. Where and when? The travel agent question. Here's a good idea. I'd like to lose some weight. Here's a goal. I will reach 185 by the time I run in the marathon in April with my daughter. Here's a good idea. I want to save some money for retirement. Here's a goal. I will pay myself first each month by setting up an automatic transfer of $200 to my retirement fund from my checking account the first day of each month. Then write a breakthrough goal, something that would stretch you, bring incredible opportunities, move you to a higher level, a quantum leap, getting a book on the New York Times bestseller list, spending every March skiing in Steamboat Springs, and every August riding on the coast of Maine. But you guys will have to substitute your own goals there. Then reread your goals, regular and breakthrough, twice a day, when you wake up, when you go to bed. 5. You're writing your own story. Small changes lead to big changes. Issues that seem overwhelmingly large and insurmountable can be approached by looking at the simplicity of the issue to specify a step to take for progress. For example, if you feel overwhelmed at work with the amount of tasks, identify one specific thing that you can do in the next 24 hours to give you some traction, same as you're listening to clients. Shrink the change. This focus on a specific, simple action creates a sense of effectiveness and initiates a model of mastery. Terry Fox ran the Marathon of Hope. It's a cross-Canada run of 3,339 miles. Since he had an artificial leg, his running style was a shuffle and a hop. He managed to average 24 miles a day, completed the run in 143 days. He was interviewed immediately after the race and asked how did he keep himself going when he was exhausted and knew he had thousands of miles ahead. His response, I just kept running to the next telephone pole. So, divide up your work, focus on and complete one thing at a time. There's always something you can focus on. During my specialty training in psychiatry, one of my first-year supervisors had a puzzling picture on his wall. It was a photograph in which everything seemed curiously out of focus. As I met with him each week, I glanced at the photograph until finally, toward the end of the year, I asked him about it. He said, "Look carefully, Dave. What do you see?" I walked over to the photograph to get a closer look. Closer didn't help, but it still seemed out of focus. I saw no particular aesthetic value. My experience and considerable interest in photography didn't help. I said, "Steve, the only thing I notice is that there's only one branch of one tree in focus in the entire picture." He nodded. He said, "That's why I have it hanging there. It's my reminder that while things may seem confusing and blurry, there's always at least one thing that you can have in focus and see clearly," which is why he was a great supervisor for first-year residents. 6. You're writing your own story. Be consistent in the pursuit of your goals. It takes 25 to 30 days to etch a new pathway in your brain to make it permanent. Write your new story consistently for it to become the default mode. Overall wellness is not based on some big monumental choice, but on little things. If you plan to run 30 minutes on the treadmill but get off after 10, convinced you're a little stiff today, it's one small choice. No big deal. You resolve to cut empty calories, but grab 4 or 5 peanut M&Ms from the candy bowl. Because no single M&M, not even 4 or 5, caused anybody to have diabetes. And nobody experienced a heart attack because of 20 minutes less on the treadmill one day. Yet our wellness is the cumulative result of thousands of such choices, seemingly innocuous and rationalized away, or justified into oblivion. And the second choice is always easier after the first choice. 7. You're writing your own story. The benefit of doing more of what's working and less of what isn't working will become evident and self-perpetuating. This is all so simple. Good parents have known this for centuries. Sometimes it just takes human science and cognitive research to remind us of the obvious. We can foster change by conscious practices and effective tools. An infinite sea of new patterns and possibilities can be created to further new goals. The caveat? You have to take action to diminish pre-programmed responses and to write script for new experiences. In other words, a new story has to replace the old one. There are no shortcuts, since long-term change requires consistent practice, repetition, to groove new neuronal pathways and establish new neural networks. But there are effective and efficient methods to accelerate optimum change and ensure transformation. 8. You're writing your own story. Ask for feedback. To your spouse or partner, ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate the quality of our relationship. If you do this, you can get direct feedback and learn what you can address. To your employees or colleagues, on a scale of 1 to 10, how am I doing? Then, how can I get to 10? A tribe in southern Africa called the Bemba has an interesting practice. When they hear a story of a person doing something wrong, something that destroys the social net of their tight community, all work in the village halts. The people gather around the offender and one by one recite all that that person has done right in his life. Good deeds, responsible behavior, thoughtful acts. This honest feedback on misbehavior has a time-honored consequence to allow the person to reclaim the better part of himself. He remembers who he is and why he is important to the life of the village. This may have been an original 360-degree feedback. Even without this kind of social network and feedback, we can relax and remember our way into alignment with our true selves. We can get centered and reconnect with our true essence. Find people who already successfully do what you want and get what you want. Research what they do in order to do your own version of it. Ask, learn, question, but make it your story. Guess who said this? It's not that I'm so smart, it's that I stay with problems longer. That was Albert Einstein. And here's an interesting statistic. After giving a complete presentation about the benefits of their service or product, more than 60% of the time salespeople forget to ask for the order. Seasoned salespeople. How to ask is a crucial factor. Ask clearly, confidently, sincerely. Virginia Satir, the well-known family therapist, was hired by the Michigan State Department of Social Services to submit a proposal on how to restructure the social department services in order to serve the client population in a better way. 60 days later, she provided the department with a 150-page report. They said two things. This is an amazing report. And how did you come up with all these brilliant ideas? She said, well, I just asked all the social workers in your department what it would take to make the system better. Now, as a footnote here, you may have noticed that each of these AAA principles of change to author a new story begins the same way. You're writing your own story. That's the first four steps of the roadmap. Recognize, observe and own, assess, and decide what to change, compressed into the shorthand of awareness and acceptance. The third A, the 12 action steps. 9. You're writing your own story, get success insurance instead of waiting for good luck. Luck is defined as probability taken personally, which is to say narcissism meets chance. Now, there's a review of research on goal setting and the kind of things that most likely interfere with people successfully reaching their goals on page 3.5 in your workbook. It helps us understand two essential things: why people give up on goals, and by knowing this, how effective goal setting can ensure long-term achievement, success insurance. 10. You're writing your own story. Take a chance. You didn't have a New York Times bestseller before you sent your manuscript to an agent. If it gets rejected, you still don't. What do you got to lose? What's the problem? You spent your whole life not having a New York Times bestseller. A young chiropractor just out of professional school wanted to open a practice in Carmel, California. He was told he'd never make it. There was already one chiropractor for every 8 people in Carmel. He went to 12,500 homes, talked to 6,500 people. He asked 3 questions. Which location should I open my office, the north or west side of town? Should I have extra office hours from 9 to 10 a.m. or 5 to 7 p.m.? And which newspaper should I advertise in? And then he asked, as he was leaving, when I have an open house party, would you like an invitation? In the first month, he took in $72,500. His first year, he netted over $1 million. 11. You're writing your own story. It's never too late to start. Don't let conventional wisdom or limiting assumptions ghostwrite your story. Cliff Beon was a 61-year-old Australian sheep herder. He heard about a cross-country race from Sydney to Melbourne and decided to enter. He showed up in Oshkosh overalls and work boots. The officials looked at him like he was crazy. They said, this is a race of over 800 kilos. The most seasoned runners in the world compete. Do you have any running experience and equipment? He said, yeah. I run after my sheep every day, and I got these boots and this baseball cap. Well, when the race began, the world-class runners took off as they were trained to begin. Cliff started shuffling along in his boots. You're supposed to run 18 hours and sleep 6, but Cliff didn't know this. Nobody told him, because when he was shuffling along, the other runners were sleeping. He shuffled along for almost 4 days. He cut 5.5 hours off the world record. We each have beliefs that limit us. Find the story that will improve you and start believing that. If there were no barriers, how and what would your ideal life be? And number 12, you're writing your own story. Everything is okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. For tens of thousands of years before books and computers, we transmitted our essence and principles by story. Story linked to the past, organized the present, and illuminated the future. Story allowed us to connect with each other's humanity and the paths crossed on the long journeys out of Africa to populate the rest of the world. Then the anatomy and physiology of our brains grew by putting thoughts and feelings into stories. Stories informed, instructed, inspired, governed, organized. Story is the most powerful way humans communicate. Story gives birth to possibilities. Stories are a way that we resonate with our earlier selves, connect with others, and create a roadmap to proceed. Your story is yourself, your life, and what will survive you. At some point in the distant future, all that will be left of you, all that will survive you, is your story. Be sure to get it right. Be sure that you are totally the author of that story and every aspect, every storyline, in the way that you want from your point of reference. Step 7. Program new identity to incorporate and sustain the changes. This is a crucial step. And the preface to this is that probably the most powerful force of the human psyche is that we always return to our identity. Now, that means if there are changes that we initiate, behavioral changes, and we don't change our operating model of how and who we see ourselves, we'll revert back to that core identity, and the change will be simply something we did at a point in time. So that's why, as coaches, when we're working with someone, we help someone transform not only what they're doing, their behavior, and their experience of it, but also their operating model of how and who they see themselves, that it is their identity that they are experiencing and creating the new story. So let's talk a little bit about operating systems now. And this is a return to something we touched on before. Behavioral patterns and belief systems downloaded especially from parents in the first years of life become automatic. They operate without observation or awareness. And these automatic systems, neuroscientists estimate that 90 to 95% of our operating system is unconscious. And that means the behavior patterns, the attachment patterns, the kinds of habitual behaviors that we do throughout a day are programmed and operate from our operating system, but not necessarily as conscious choice. But we rarely observe these behaviors because they're just simply the way things are. They're not a story, but they are just who we are. So that's where we come in as coaches. So what that means is we can create two stories simultaneously. The surface story, that's the conscious story. That's the 5 to 10%. That we run our lives with conscious intentions and aspirations. This is what I want from life. These are my aspirations. Yet, this is only a tiny part of the picture. At the same time, an unconscious story ghostwrites behavior, sometimes in a different direction than the conscious intention. Here's how that can sound. Well, I can't get what I want. The system keeps me from doing what I need. I don't have what it takes. A very simple example. A surface story. I would like to generate more revenue and create ultimately greater wealth. But the shadow story may say, you know, I don't really know how to do that. I think that, you know, wealth belongs to other people. I'm not sure I really want to give up all the comfort and spend all that time away from my family and do all the things that it would take. I'm not even sure that I could do it. There's no guarantee. So there are a number of things that can be a shadow story that go in the opposite direction to the surface story. Many compromises occur when two stories are written simultaneously. Another example in a relationship. I want to claim my freedom and become totally my own person. But my partner acts like I'm taking it away when I'm self-sufficient. So let's look now at a mission statement. In business, you're familiar with this. A mission statement is a statement of an organization's primary purpose, the strategies to achieve that purpose, and its fundamental values. A personal mission statement can clarify and provide meaning to your daily activities. It can add focus and commitment to what you're doing. It can be an organizer, in other words. And a mission statement contains four elements: ideals, purpose, strategies, and goals. And this is simply a review. Ideals are the core values that guide you. They define what's important to you. And when you have attainable internal ideals and live up to them, that's what generates self-esteem. Purpose is what you want to accomplish. Purpose needs to be consistent with your ideals. It fuels your activity. Strategy is simply the art and science of a plan of action. And you're aware of goals that are effective, such as SMART goals: specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-bound. So create a personal mission statement. What is your life purpose? What are you meant to do? This is the compass to guide your life and wellness story to personal fulfillment. I'll share mine. To inspire and guide others to achieve their unique, most empowered life and business story. Write yours down. Read it every day. Incorporate it into your wellness story. So let's look for just a bit at state of mind patterns. Here's something that you'll see, I would predict, and you've probably already seen this in working with clients because it's human nature. And you may see the pattern more quickly in a wellness story than in other aspects of life. A new pattern of behavior can occur for a sustained period of time even, but then it can be subjugated to other, even opposing mindsets or a reversion back to an earlier default mode, to a comfort zone, a reversion to the familiar. Someone who's overweight plans a weight loss program, achieves an ideal body weight, 30 pounds lighter. As soon as the target's reached, the nutritional plan and the exercise is relaxed and weight's gained back. Then the diet has to be reinstated. Another, the independent business person carves out a set number of hours each week to do marketing. This plan, meticulously adhered to, results in successful business. But then with success and the plan is relaxed and marketing efforts lapse, business wanes. Then the marketing time has to be reinstated. In each of these situations, an individual has specific motivated attempts at adhering to self-control in a plan. Both lapse as part of the cycle and both have to be reinstated. People behave in one way, in one mindset. Then, when the context changes, their mindset may also change. Usually, the prompt for the turn or the return to the original is the shock of recognition. The lapse occurs with relaxation then back into the comfort zone. Now, the patterns that cycle quickly can come to attention and be more readily addressed. Some patterns have extremely long time cycles, and recognition occurs gradually. An unfortunate example would be the aging process and the recognition of the need for better nutrition and exercise crystallized by an event such as a heart attack. The time period is so long that by the time it repeats, somebody has a real, real challenge. Things that cycle quickly, you can see evidence of several times, maybe even in a week, and more readily address those. So create a list to prompt wellness states of mind. Some examples, a 3-minute break to listen to music or to do a meditation or a mindfulness exercise. Make your first thoughts of the day positive and fulfilling. They set in motion how the day will transpire. Make your last thought at night before you go to sleep a positive, enhancing one. It sets in motion what your unconscious mind works on while you're asleep. A meditation period of even 3 to 5 minutes a day can be powerful to get centered and determine your focus. Be aware of especially fertile times to plant seeds, such as the beginning and ending of the day. If you're positive, it will grow. If you're a collector of injustices, your collection will grow. Another aspect I want to just mention, follow success trails. Have you ever heard or said some version of following? Well, you know, I want to change careers, but I'm not sure I know what to do instead. I really want to get in shape, but I'm not sure where to start. I want to play a bigger game, but I'm not sure what that is. Decide how you want to expand. Then pick success trails to follow. Seek out a mentor, books, program, or resources to help you. Watch someone who's doing what you might want to do. Ask them if you can take them to lunch and pick their brain, or shadow them for a day to observe. When my very good buddy, Art, heard that I was transitioning from psychoanalytic practice and had completed my professional coaching, he flew to Houston to take me to dinner. A few years earlier at that time, he had left IBM as a senior executive to start his own consulting corporation. He told me how he chose 5 very successful people who had done very similar things to what he was planning to do, asked them to lunch or dinner to pick their brains, to get advice about what he was on the cusp of. He advised me to do the same. It worked for both of us. Some business people with instant global recognition pick his brain for substantial picking fees. Let's talk for a moment about choice enhancement in terms of programming new identity. Here are some considerations to apply to choices, especially where emotion can nudge, prompt, or even derail those choices. Increased tension produces emotional regression. In other words, stress can move someone to an emotional pattern that's more characteristic of a much earlier age. What is the age of this conversation is a question perhaps to have in mind. Another, increased emotion narrows the perspective to create a tunnel vision. So what that means is with the client, paradoxically, if someone has escalated emotionally, attempting to use reason and logic with them makes them more torqued up, less able to access reason, and to dig in their heels more strongly. Stress derails balanced, big-picture thinking to focus on the more recent and the more emotionally charged events. So this is where the perspective and viewing it from a different level can be helpful. Remember, when you're in a state of upset, the first order of business always is to regulate feeling, to get centered and grounded. When you're relaxed and centered, you have the greatest access to all your states of mind, all the information you possess. So what that means is what we've talked about before, state always comes first, then strategy and story. If a client is focused on what they're experiencing, resonate with that experience first to develop a common ground, then together you can go to the new experience and the new possibilities and consider that better together. Resonate with it empathically, simply to say, I hear how confused you've been by that or how upset that's made you. Then look at strategy and story in that order, because you've created a common ground with that resonance, incorporating with that empathic resonance the primary challenging that they're experiencing. Here's a quote from a Buddhist teaching. Return to the earth now if your mind is troubled and your heart is uncertain, for it is by returning to the beginning that we can clearly see the path. What better metaphor and literal application of getting grounded and centered? So let's revisit the notion of change and transition. Remember, the brain is a very efficient machine. It doesn't waste energy. Simplicity is to take the path of least resistance, to use neurons already familiar with the task. The brain inclines toward repeating the old story. To think creatively, new neural pathways need to be developed outside the cycle of usual experience. Stimulation for new insight is a circumstance where the brain can't predict what will happen next. A catalyst for insight is a novel stimulus, new information, or new context. That's why as coaches we focus on possibilities, which activates new aspects of the brain, versus focusing on problems, which moves somebody back into an already grooved aspect of experience, further grooving it and etching it to make it even more entrenched. The change is the event, the situation. You change a behavior, you move to a new city, have a baby, take a new job. As we focus on change, we address the rituals of change, the work tools, the SMART goals. The transition is the process. It's the internal story of change, a shift into orientation, even self-definition. Transition is attention to the seasonal cycles as well as the daily weather. As you create change and embrace transition, you let go of the old story, the outlived chapter, and evolve into your new story. This is the P of the roadmap. Program new identity to internalize the changes, to sustain and enhance them. When you make them permanent, when you make it part of your identity, it's what you naturally return to. It becomes the new default mode. And Jung said that the most important problems can't be solved. They have to be outlived. Let's talk about commitment devices for a moment. As an accountability partner, which we are as coaches, professional coaches may consider commitment devices. Now, there have been studies on how people self-impose as well as co-create commitments for behaviors that they know are in their best interest. We help children do this. A piggy bank is a commitment device to counter impulsive purchases. Other ways that people counter their own vulnerability and bolster commitment to a better response. In one study, college students were given the option to create their own earlier deadlines for 3 papers due by the end of the semester. 75% of them jumped at the chance. Now, think about that. 100% of them could at any moment from the beginning of the course decide when to do their deadline, when to complete the paper. When it was made official that they could create their own deadlines, they became aware of, oh yeah, I can do this, and 75% of them jumped at it. 100% is always the option. People find ways of saving themselves from immediate cravings. A study at Harvard Business School looked at the ways people dealt with purchasing want products from should products. They would devise ways to put off things that they just wanted and have them ensure for themselves that they would do what they should do first to put off delivery until they completed what they needed to do. And an example in money stories. Automatic retirement deposits make commitment a one-time good decision. So, consider how to prioritize your shoulds and reward doing them with your wants. This reframes wants as part of a performance ethic. It removes guilt, and it links to performance what you know you're going to do anyhow. And planning is a different scenario from impulsivity. I want to do an overview here, a brief overview of the most frequent mistakes in writing a new wellness story. 1, not knowing that you, and these are all in your outline, not knowing that you don't know. Now, how can people know that they don't know something? We believe we know, which blinds us to our ignorance. This in turn causes us to be blind to signs that we may be mistaken. To know to ask is half the answer. 2, stopping at the first right answer. When we're solving problems or writing a new story, we may stop at the first reasonable action. While this may be a correct strategy, it can also stop us from considering other right answers, other correct strategies that could be more effective. So ask yourself, and then what? What else? I want to introduce number 3 with a brief quiz. 5 frogs sat on a log. They all considered their options. 4, however, planned their strategy and then decided they would jump off. How many were left? Well, 5 were left because they only planned and decided. They didn't commit to act. Number 3 is procrastination. And I'm talking about some of the broad themes here, the big patterns. Putting off an exercise program, not paying yourself first, not saving for emergency, not saving for retirement, taking care of others but not yourself. Most of us live our lives as though there were an unlimited amount of time left. We have little sense of urgency, contributing to a lack of focus. When the 2-minute warning sounds in football, a team sometimes achieves more in the final 2 minutes than they did in the previous 28. Well, the Houston Texans do not, of course, but that's true for most teams. This imminent deadline, a limited, finite amount of time to accomplish goals, focuses concentration and increases effort. In our lives, we only rarely have a 2-minute warning. We play as if the notion of finite time is an abstraction, something we acknowledge, but don't really internalize. Life is finite. It's just that the game clock is invisible. 4. Inefficient energy management. Managing energy is a key to success. This begins with knowing your strengths and limitations, your biological cycles, when you perform best. For example, know how to enter and exit various states of mind, which works best for a particular task. For example, writing and editing, two different states of mind to be done at two different times. Brainstorming versus completing a project, two different parts of the brain. Cluster activities that require the same state of mind, such as doing errands, to preserve time that you need to sustain and be immersed in a focused concentration. Identify what enhances your energy, anticipation, creativity, pleasure, meditation, prayer. Identify what depletes your energy, toxic people or situations, negative mindset, lack of focus. This way of regulating states of mind and managing energy is crucial to everyone. It is quintessential for those who have attention deficit challenges. I work with a number of professional coaches in mentor coaching who have attention deficit challenges. We can structure and address these issues simply by structuring a way to manage energy and structure the day. 5, ambiguity. If you're uncertain about what options are available and don't know what it would be like to pursue them since you haven't done it before, this uncertainty can add to decision paralysis. But what looks like resistance can simply be a lack of clarity of what's next. People are more likely to change when new behavior is crystal clear, not vague or absent or abstract or too big a goal where you can't see stepwise progress. Eat a healthier diet. It's vague and abstract. Save for the future. That's limitless. Where do you begin? When you want to affect change, help someone script specific behaviors that are measurable, that are SMART goals, that look at what's the next best thing to do. 6, too many choices. Some studies showed how an HR department or an individual investment advisor can provide too many choices, and the extra options can backfire, leading to decision paralysis. For every 10 options offered, the employee's rate of participation decreased by another 2%. At some point, too many choices debilitates rather than liberates, and someone retreats to the default mode of not making a choice. Think about how you've had this experience. You look at all the things to do and feel sort of overwhelmed by the massive amount of things. Instead of picking one, you decide to take a nap. Or at least that's what I do. 7, lack of persistence. The truly challenging, courageous part of change is not the initial decision or the initiation of a new order of things. It's the willingness to stay the course. Another Texan, Ross Perot, put it this way, very simply. Most people give up when they're about to achieve success. They quit on the 1-yard line. 8, not following success trails. We already talked about how to follow success trails to pick someone who's doing or being what you want to be. Now, we've talked about the wellness story. In a conclusion here, we've talked about the wellness story from perspectives of cells, mind, brain, and story. Now a final word about genes. Epigenetics is the study of the ways in which our experiences change the ways genes operate. Our experiences program how active our genes will be. There's a difference between having a gene and that gene expressing its signature proteins to have a particular effect. Of our more than 30,000 genes, some express themselves constantly, some only at a particular time in life, some only for a certain organ of the body, and some only at certain behavioral or emotional prompts. We now know that our genes and our environment, including our behavior, are reliant on each other. What we do as well as what we eat can turn genes on or turn them off. Genes cannot operate independently of their environment, internal and external. Our nutrition, our emotions, our social interactions all interact. A really simple example, when you eat broccoli. Broccoli contains a form of B6, which prompts a specific enzyme to produce the amino acid L-tryptophan, which contributes to synthesize dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that, among other things, stabilizes mood. So, a final word about your true story. The residual outcome of your past thoughts, feelings, and actions are not who you are. What you have done with your body and eating may not be your true body self. Who you are is what you're creating this moment. Write your genuine life story, your informed wellness story. Write the truest story possible. A small boy went up to Walt Disney and asked him, "How can I be like you one day?" And Disney took this question very seriously. He thought about it a moment. He held up his finger to indicate to the boy that he was thinking. And finally, he said four words. Think, believe, dream, dare. And remember the most important lesson from everything I've said during our time together. Just keep going to the next telephone pole. Oh, and eat your broccoli. We're now in conversation mode. Thoughts, questions, things that you'd like us to talk about in our remaining time. Has this been what you've hoped and expected? Did you take away some tools, some practical approaches, ways of listening to your clients? But one at a time, not all at once. I'm very curious about your experience and any questions or clarifications you have also. One thing I want to mention, I thought about it and didn't know if we'd have time for it. When we talked about the first thought you have of the day is something that sets your state of mind for the first part of that day. We touched on this when we talked about regulating states of mind and addressing how to determine a state of mind. I want to reiterate something that I mentioned before, just to see if there are any questions. One thing I've done with a couple of clients who have had a really difficult time getting over some really unexpected and difficult experiences in their life or at their work or their companies, I've recommended and finding out from them what's the first thing they think about. Well, it's the thing that just happened, the first thing they think about, and they're off and running with feeling bad. And they recognize how that boots up a particular mindset. We are always asking questions of ourselves from the moment that we barely wake up. We're asking, you know, what's going to happen today? What can I do today that will be beneficial or upsetting or whatever the questions are? Take an active role in that to create a state of mind that is empowering and engaging for the day. Write three questions the day before or the night before that when you first wake up each morning, as soon as you turn on your bedside lamp before your feet ever hit the floor, answer these three questions. Make them empowering questions, questions that will put you in a positive, empowered state of mind. And notice how when you engage the day in that state of mind, it furthers that experience and creates more of what you expect and that you have a more positive beginning. Because remember how state determines the meaning we attach to something, and the meaning we attach determines behavior. So your state of mind can change how you see something and what you do. So why not engineer it to be the most effective, the most empowering, and the most specific for what you want to get done as possible? Thoughts, questions? Anything else you'd like to talk about in more detail?
David?
Yes.
Hi,
thank
this
you.
Is Kelly.
I feel lonely there. Go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of nervous to speak up, but I've been attentively
paying
attention.
I was nervous with the silence, so better you than me.
Oh,
go
okay.
ahead.
I totally
just
understand.
Just a little bit louder. Get your mouth a little closer to the microphone.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, somewhat. Go ahead.
Is that better? Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, I've really enjoyed this program. I took the class with interest of having a wellness story change my personal wellness story before I start guiding others. In that I don't do coaching full-time. I actually am director of talent management for a corporate organization, and I just enjoy coaching, so I just kind of have it in my back pocket. But I really thought that this was beneficial for me first to focus on myself so that, and I'm anxious to change my story in many different ways, and that way I can, say I've walked the talk when helping others. So
that's
thank you for it. I've really enjoyed it.
Have you gone through the exercises? Have we gone through the seminars to see if it really is effective for you?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, and it really is. Absolutely. Very very powerful to me, and I'm anxiously working on some good transformations. So thank you.
Well, great. I think it will also be beneficial as your work as director of talent management. I think that the tools and methods that we talked about can be used in a daily way. One of the things I do is to offer a program to develop an internal mentoring program for organizations, and that's usually with people in talent management. So think about could I get a mute, or if you're on a cell phone or a computer phone, if you would mute, please, to think about the application of the tools and methods and principles of mentor coaching applied to what you do every day. A very simple mm-hmm. example, and this is something in conversation, something that we know now in neuroscience in terms of conversational intelligence. The first words that we use in a conversation boots up a particular mindset in the listener or the reader, and that mindset processes the entire remainder of the conversation. If those first words are adversarial or challenging or simply instructive, it boots up a mindset that's mediated by cortisol and adrenaline, and somebody is on alert and in a more defensive posture. That processes the entire remainder of the conversation. Consider a mm-hmm. different beginning, something that's more collaborative. That boots up a whole different neurochemical system of oxytocin, the chemical of bonding and connection. And that then influences the entire remainder of the conversation. So for people that you have conversation with, from your clients to people who report to you to people you train, when they know this, it's not instruction or information that's going to change mm-hmm. somebody. It's not even that that's going to put them in a mindset that is most likely to be receptive for that of collaboration. Remember, we talked about in the first seminar, if information were enough, we'd all be thin, we'd work out every day, yeah. we'd eat mostly vegetables, we'd have a lot of money saved up, but
right.
it's not information that changes. So think about what we know about conversational intelligence as well, and think about perhaps using some of these tools and methods and principles in your everyday engagement with other people. And you might
Absolutely.
Even try with your kids. Remember, if it's not going to work, if a conversation is not going to work with your teenage child, then it's probably not going to work in the real world as well. So practice at home. Other thoughts? We've got just a minute.
This is Carolyn.
Please.
And this has been very useful. I have been coaching. I'm also a minister, so I do spiritual coaching. But right now, because there's so much tension around politics and other things going on that people seem to be more aware of, I'm actually doing a morning meditative program around what's called the Seasons of Nonviolence. And I've been doing this for many years, but I've actually added some of the techniques that you've given, like those 3 points, because we look at a word, but I also am encouraging people to write down 3 things that they want to be happy
with. Oh, yeah.
To.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Terrific. I think that is a huge contribution. There's so much that we didn't have a chance to get into about mindfulness and meditation practices that can really change body physiology, immune systems, and that sort of thing that can be hugely beneficial in terms of our own wellness practices and with others as well. So thank you all very much. I appreciate your energy and your response. It's been a privilege to work with you for these 4 seminars. I've learned too, and I hope you have. I hope it's met your expectations. Thank you for your energy, your presence, and I hope we'll have opportunities to cross paths and collaborate again. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You bet.